Space, the final frontier. A Wednesday chapel talk, Winchester College, Cloister Time, 2016. Andrew French. Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before. This was the iconic opening line during the title sequence of the Star Trek TV series, created by ex-US Army Air Force pilot and Los Angeles policeman Gene Roddenberry. Star Trek was first broadcast in 1966 and has been continuously artistically reimagined ever since. It is thought that the line may have been inspired by a White House document, Introduction to Outer Space, published 8 years earlier in 1958. The first of these factors is the compelling urge of man to explore and to discover, the thrust of curiosity that leads men to try to go where no one has gone before. Most of the surface of the Earth has now been explored, and men now turn on the exploration of outer space as their next objective. Although one could rightly criticize the dubious political motives of the Cold War-chilled space race of the 60s and 70s, there is no doubt that this period marked a high point in human cooperation and ingenuity. A possible unparalleled frenzy of non-military science and engineering, which led to Neil Armstrong's own opening line, "It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind," as he placed the first ever human footprint on the moon on the 20th of July 1969. Although Eugene Cernan and Harrison Jack Schmidt closed the moonside door of their Apollo 17 Challenger lunar lander for the last time on the 14th of December 1972, China, India, Russia are all currently planning a new chapter of human voyages to our nearest rocky satellite. Indeed, a manned mission to Mars is not merely a Hollywood fantasy. To consider the Orion Project, to quote their website, "For the first time in a generation, NASA is building a new human spacecraft that will usher in a new era of space exploration. If there is suitable will, I think it is possible that we will all encounter a real Martian in our lifetime. Unless body art fashions change significantly, though, I doubt these will be green, or indeed just men. It might be of practical use, though, to be a little bit small, so perhaps my childhood dream of being an astronaut is not quite dead yet." The lasting appeal of Star Trek and the myriad of tales of similar interstellar odysseys is surely at least in part due to a fundamental fascination with the unknown, a basic human curiosity to see what is beyond our present horizons. To quote from H.P. Lovecraft in his 1927 novella, The Dream Quest of Unknown Kadath, "At length, sick with longing for those glittering sunset streets and cryptical hill lanes among ancient tiled roofs, nor able sleeping or waking to drive them from his mind, Carter resolved to go with bold entreaty whither no man had gone before, and dare the icy deserts through the dark to where unknown Kadath, veiled in cloud and crowned with unimagined stars, holds secret and nocturnal the onyx castle of the Great Ones." Although the moon landings may be the current apogee of human exploration, the associated scientific appendices are expanding at an impressive rate, even more than in a Tolkien novel. Remotely controlled vehicles have mapped all the planets in the solar system, the most recent being New Horizons' spectacular intimate photo shoot of Pluto and its moon Charon in July 2015. The 7.5 billion kilometre radio umbilicus was successfully proven, perhaps unsurprising given that Voyager 1, launched in 1977, is still in contact with Earth, even though it is now about 19 billion kilometres away, and receding another 61,000 kilometres every hour. In the last 100 years, the detail of our understanding of the cosmos has been nothing short of revelation. The modern Big Bang story of Genesis, intriguingly first proposed by physicist and Belgian priest Georges Lemaître, is a much grander and humbling narrative than the biblical original. Incredibly, science can predict with peer-reviewed precision the broad plot themes back to 10 to the minus 43 of a second after the creation of our universe. 7 days has become 13.8 billion years, the Earth coalescing from supernovae stardust for the latter 4.5 billion. If the cosmic eons could be compressed into a calendar year, our galaxy formed in May and the Earth in September. Dinosaurs roamed the Earth from Christmas Day until the 30th of December. Modern humans evolved around 11:54 p.m. on New Year's Eve. Christ himself was born with about 5 seconds to go, and Columbus arrived in America with about 1 second to spare. Blink, and you skip centuries. The physical scale of the cosmos is even more awe-inspiring. The distances between stars is so vast that only by considering the propagation of light itself can we begin to assign meaning. Light takes 8.3 minutes to complete the transit from the Sun to the Earth, a distance of 15 billion meters, or 374,000 times round the circumference of the Earth. The nearest star is about 4 light years away, 253,000 times the Earth-Sun separation. So far that even our nearest neighbor would be almost impossible to visit. Voyager 1, our fastest spacecraft to date, would take over 70,000 years to make this journey. Although future communication with an alien civilization may not be practical, at least we can be content with the incredible opportunity to record and learn from history. By analysing the spectrum of light received by our ever-increasing array of land and space-located telescopes, we can infer the structure and composition of distant quasars over 10 billion light-years away. The edge of our universe, if that even has a meaning, is at least 45 billion light-years and expanding. When we gaze up at the night sky, we are seeing an ancient tableau, thousands, millions, perhaps billions of years old. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, indeed. I shall conclude with the beautiful, poetic words of the American planetary scientist Carl Sagan. I shall read the opening and concluding lines of his wonderful book, Cosmos. I urge all of you to read it at least once. The television series of the same name is also fantastic, and indeed Professor Brian Cox credits it as the primary inspiration for the more contemporary BBC Wonders of the Universe series, and perhaps why he became a scientist in the first place. The cosmos is all that there is, or ever was, or ever will be. In the last few millennia, we have made the most astonishing and unexpected discoveries about the cosmos and our place within it. Explorations that are exhilarating to consider. They remind us that humans have evolved to wonder, that understanding is a joy, that knowledge is a prerequisite to survival. I believe our future depends on how well we know this cosmos, in which we float like a mote of dust in the morning sky. Some 3.6 million years ago, in what is now northern Tanzania, a volcano erupted, the resulting cloud of ash covering the surrounding savannas. In 1979, the paleoanthropologist Mary Leakey found in that ash footprints. Footprints, she believes, of an early hominid, perhaps the ancestor of all the peoples on the Earth today. And 383,000 kilometres away, in that flat, dry plain that humans have, in a moment of optimism called the Sea of Tranquility, there is another footprint, left by the first human to walk another world. We have come far in 3.6 million years, and in 4.6 billion, and in 15 billion. For we are the local embodiment of a cosmos grown to self-awareness. We have begun to contemplate our origins, star stuff pondering the stars, organized assemblage of 10 billion, billion, billion atoms, considering the evolution of atoms, tracing the long journey by which, here at least, consciousness arose. Our loyalties are to the species and the planet. We speak for Earth. Our obligation to survive is owed not just to ourselves, but also to that cosmos, ancient and vast, from which we spring.